All right, welcome everybody back to No Quitters, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. I am joined on the podcast, as always, by the Alliance. I got my guy JJ, I got Riggs, I got Cons, I got Eddie. And we're kind of just jumping into the episode because we're getting into some 90s nostalgia, talking Kazaa, LimeWire, Winamp, shit like that, Napster. And I don't even know what we're going to record here, so we're just going to start it off now. And then JJ asked if we used punters on AIM. Does anybody know what a punter was on AIM?
No.
Dude, it was like a program where you could just send someone – it would automatically send them like a billion messages so their computer would freeze. And then, you know, it was when everyone had dial-up. So then, like, you know, their dad is just there like, what the fuck is going on? I'm trying to call your grandmother and you're tying up the phone line with this stupid shit. Like, Sprite was the biggest one. Yeah, I guess you guys didn't fuck with them. All right, on to the show.
I remember it. I just didn't remember it was called punters.
Okay.
And it would be like weird characters and shit, right? And it would basically boot them offline and freeze their computer and shit like
yeah.
that. JJ is very much a punter guy in my mind. Like, if I had to say which of my friends was a punter, JJ's at the top of the list.
Yeah, or like you could send a message to someone but change what your name was. So like you could pretend to be a girl in your class and like hit up your friend who's not there while the rest of you are hanging out, pretending to be her, make him say some silly shit, and then just laugh at him. It was real bullying, like classic bullying.
This is all started. Riggs wants to do a blog about 90s relics, which I'm sure he'll get banged out. He is finding his angle. And we said AIM was basically the linchpin of our lives. Yeah. Like Kazaa and all those things, everything you need to get music and porn, those are like needs for especially like a teenage kid. Nothing beat AIM though. AIM was like your fucking link to the outside world and shit like that. Eddie, were you an AIM guy? This is like we kind of see where the generational gap where it exists. You were AIM though back in the day, right?
Oh yeah, big AIM guy. Away messages, all that shit. AIM was the best.
I wonder at what age right now, like what age is someone right now where they missed AIM?
25.
Yeah. So you're saying 26 or older, you had AIM.
Yeah, I feel like that's right, because there was that stretch where I went from you had to have AOL to just AIM, and I feel like that stuck, I want to say, to like, oh wait, like the late 2000s.
I mean, once I was out of college, basically AIM disappeared.
It just turned to GChat.
Yeah, well, I didn't even have GChat at that time, but...
Well, everyone in America, besides...
We get it, you were at war, you were at war, so you didn't have a laptop.
No, I had...
thank you for your service.
I had
on Memorial Day week too, and we forgot. Jesus Christ, guys.
Good news is I'm still alive. But yeah, I had GChat, yeah. Actually, I remember now. I had GChat when in 2008. So there was just like a gap between not having AIM and then having GChat. So there was just like a oblivion there.
Do you guys remember ICQ? That was like another app that they tried to make like the new AIM and go, and that was, but it just never caught on. AIM was such a magical thing. Like Eddie said, the away messages, the profiles. Looking back now, like I had pride in my away messages and profiles. And I think that's kind of what made me want to be a blogger, was just writing stupid ass shit and entertaining my friends fucking with, you know, 140 characters, whatever the limit was for that back then. I don't remember.
Am I crazy to think that there's a place for AIM today?
It's Twitter. Like it's... Well, yeah, but to a degree, yeah.
These people you don't want to deal with.
Right. I know, I was thinking that. Like,
is it just GChat then?
But that's GChat, it's Skype,
yeah.
It's Slack.
You got a buddy profile on Slack, JJ?
That's a good point.
Yeah, you do have a profile. I don't know. I could see what the range is there.
You got fucking lyrics as your away message on there? Listen,
that's it, man. If you can't have an away message, that's what all these platforms are lacking.
Well, that's why you could just make your status in a way message, like a lyric.
It's really just
it at work.
It's really just mixing like Twitter or combining Twitter and GChat. Like that's really what we just need to know.
The buddy icon too. Like if you just hit a good buddy icon, I had the Punch Out buddy icon for a while. Little Mac, it was animated too. If you had an animated buddy icon that just showed you were like in the Matrix and shit like that. Oh man, good old days. And there's definitely some listeners who are like, what the fuck are these fossils talking about right now? I'm 25 years old and don't know what the fuck AIM is. AIM had a while too where it was on life support, but I still remember, I think Nate blocked it too when they pulled the plug. It was a sad day, even though I hadn't used it in years. I remember using it and my early days in the professional world, like that was how we like would talk to different people in the company. So it had its little run there, I'm sure, to the end, but RIP.
Imagine. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's go around the room and get some screen names. Reeves, screen name.
Lefty 22.
Oh, that's, like, I did the worst.
It was basic. Like, that was that. It was just, I was just sticking with it. Stick with what I knew from the get-go.
Underrated used to be UK Lefty 22 on Twitter. JJ, what was yours?
Oh, mine sucked. It was CINYJ, City Island, New York, Jack.
All right, now what was your screen name for when you acted like a lesbian in the lesbian chat rooms?
Oh, man.
It was something with either QT or girl GURL.
XOXO143, BX Princess.
Yep. Brown-haired QT 85.
I went to high school with a lot of Italian Princess 143. Yep.
Yeah. Yes, Italian Princess was a big one. My wife, actually, her screen name started with a QT. So she was
born in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Cons, what did you have?
Well, just pretty standard Trojan QB3.
Was your high school the Trojans?
Yeah.
At least, thank God. Thank God.
I thought he was just
out of nowhere.
Like the Trojans hat and the Cox hat. Before he was a captain, like you couldn't have been the captain before you were actually a captain. So I was like, I don't know what the fuck this heart was going to come up with here. And Trojan QB3 was. How about Ed, Sweet Edward? What'd you have?
Mine's pretty bad. Stone Cold Ed 10. I was a big wrestling guy.
I wish your Twitter handle was Stone Cold Ed so bad.
Stone Cold Ed 10.
That's actually, I'll tell you what, like I hear that now, I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty good name. That guy Ed, he's Stone Cold.
I like to think 0 to 9 was taken.
Yeah. At one point it was 10-10, then I think I shortened it. I got hacked or something, so I had to cut down to 10. So I was just singular time.
I lost the 10.
Yeah. I got some good news, Ed. Stone Cold Ed 10 is currently available on Twitter. It looks like it says Stone Cold did 10. Like if you have to capitalize.
When I was older and I was like embarrassed because it was like a wrestling thing that I made in like fourth grade, I would just tell people that Stone Cold did. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Dude, I got to college and my roommate, his was Chad 10 for Chad Pennington, with 5 A's. So it's terrible already because it's for Chad Pennington. It's 5 A's because Chad with 1 A, 2 A, 3 A, and 4 A's was all taken. So he also had the rights to 6 and 7. So like that would like he was buying up real estate on the Chad 10 market.
He's buying up on the other end.
And it's still his, like, it's his Instagram and shit. It's like, what, like, why are you still creating things like this?
Clem, what was yours?
That is such a Chad move right there.
He had an obscure stat of why, like, Chad Pennington, like, he had the best completion at, like, 3rd and 7s with 7 minutes left in the game.
And he was just a really big Marshall fan. I don't know.
Yeah, we are. I was Blake fan, which this just goes to show my age. I was my first fantasy football league ever. I had Jeff Blake. He won me my first 2 years. Wow. I had Jeff Blake at quarterback, won fantasy football championships. And I was like, oh, this little thing called AOL. I'll just choose the name, I don't know, Blake fan. So I chose Blake Fan as my name, thinking nobody would ever know me as Blake Fan. And I had that through fucking, you know, graduated college with Blake Fan as my name, which is
if you were Blake Fan now, who do you think people would think if you heard the word name Blake?
Well, I actually, in college, I had Steve Blake's grandfather reach out to me because he wanted the name Blake Fan. And Sienna played against Sienna played Maryland in the fucking tournament, and the entire time he's like talking with me, and then Sienna ends up playing Maryland in the tournament. They obviously beat us in the tourney, which sucked, but like I kind of became good buddies with Steve Blake's grandfather because of the name Blake Fan. So it goes to show you kind of never know. It was wild.
Steve Blake's grandfather.
I wasn't like pen pals with him. It was internet buddies. Like I don't know. He might have. I was on his. I probably was on his buddy list. Looking back, he wasn't on my buddy list. But
some old man just made an aim and then was like, "Let me find Blake Fan, befriend him." And so you're lucky you didn't end up gay married with this old man. It's so he could divorce you and take it. This sounds like such a setup scheme. of where this is going from nowhere to now you guys are buddies in the NCAA tournament together.
I should have tried.
What kind of rom-com is this?
I should have tried to fucking foil Steve Blake and got him hurt or something. That would have been the way to go about it. If it was Celtic pride and I fucking take out Steve Blake's knees.
Tanya Harden.
Know where he is. Yeah, exactly.
I mean his grandfather brings you down courtside before the game and you take him out.
I just picture you two sitting courtside at a basketball game, and you're right. That is the theme to it. To Clem as a 20-something-year-old befriends a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
I love it.
You also have to think, I'm coming home, drunk from the bars, and I have,
he's coming home drunk and just chatting up old Blake's grandfather.
No, I'm walking back to, an away message, and he's, talking my away message because he's an old man, and I'm just, fucking swaying there, what the fuck? And just, it was a weird, weird time. The name Blake fan. I don't know. Who's a Blake today? I guess there's a Blake fucking Griffin? 100. I'm basically a part of my take, super fan. If I'm a Blake fan, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
Hey, Blake fan could get some fucking money right now. Yeah, I had a friend who put his screen name on eBay, actually. He was King Pop MJ, and he thought he could get some serious money for it, so he threw it on eBay. But I told him, I go, listen, Michael Jackson isn't MJ. MJ's Michael Jordan.
It didn't really
– I think it was after Michael Jackson died, he threw it on eBay hoping to get post-death little bump, and I don't think he sold it for anything. So shout out to everyone with their AIM screen names. We'll make a timestamp in the thing for the people who go, what the fuck did you guys just open the up? Well, we had to start it off with this. Shout out JJ throwing the punters out there. That's probably an 8 out of 10 in terms of technical know what the fuck was going on with AIM. So that's definitely a throwback.
All right. Last question about AIM and then we can move on. I'm sorry. But at one point or another, did you guys all have some dashboard confessional lyrics as an away message?
Of course.
No.
I think so. Hands down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. After a drunk night or whatever, you probably throw something up.
And then my favorite, I had a save water shower with a friend.
Of course.
When I went to take a shower.
Of course you did.
There was three or
that's
four.
Sick, man. That's so tight. I wish I was there.
There are so many lyrics that girls would use that I still don't know what the song is from. I just would see it every fucking time, this fucking thing again, and I have no idea. Shine on you crazy diamond or something like that. Don't know what that's from. I might know the song, but I don't know where it is. Anyway. That was a hell of a tangent. We started out on that was great. Kind of an interesting, weird episode tonight on the challenge. We start off, we get kind of the fallout, the drama. We have D. It starts off with this. I don't know if you guys even remember this to start the episode. D realizes she just gave Jenny a free Red Skull. And she finally fucking comes to a realization that she just gave fucking, red carpet out for the best player in the goddamn game. She calls her someone a proper psychopath, which
she goes, fucking love. She referred to herself. This was the sentence. I wrote it down, actually, in that British accent, which is great. But she said, proper psychopath this season, I am. And that's just fantastic. I mean, the words are all jumbled around from what we're used to. She called herself a proper psychopath. I like that adjective, a proper. And it's just how people, when you get a kick out of hearing people from other parts of the country with their accents and just they could say anything in their slang and it's funny. I think that's the same thing we hear. I've never heard someone say they're a proper psychopath. So I liked it.
Yeah, I loved it.
I love it. Took her we've been talking about D giving Jenny a Red Skull for 7 weeks. And it's just now coming up.
Which I don't know. I would imagine it's not edited like that, but it definitely felt like it could have been.
D's kind of stupid enough for it to drag on that long.
Yeah, okay, I could see that. And who she was talking to Rogan, right? Yeah. She was talking to Rogan who I think someone said, a couple people said he was kind of making googly eyes at Kayla at some point during that whole thing. So that would be, it seems like that'd be Rogan. We start the challenge. And this pissed me off. I saw people coming to me. They have fucking poor Big T hobble all the way down there.
That was amazing. Just getting yelled at by bananas.
Yeah. And they had to know, the way everyone reacted when TJ's you're done, blah, blah, blah. It was clear they knew. They didn't milk it. It was no drama. She's fucking hobbling down fucking stairs in the Czech Republic. like TJ doesn't go to the house anymore and is like, hey guys, sorry, you know, has them all in the living room.
Yo, that's a good point. I forgot that TJ, he hasn't been to the house and he doesn't go there anymore.
TJ probably looked at the house and was just like, ah, fuck it, I'll just wait for him to come here.
I guess that's a fair point. And I feel like when TJ goes to the house, someone has to be in trouble. So, you know, it's like, ooh, you know.
Dad's home. Yep.
Like, it's one thing to get called to the principal's office. It's another thing when the principal comes in your class. It's like, oh, yep. Shit, it's like someone fucking almost killed somebody.
Yeah, you prefer to just hear from TJ and your sidekick mobile.
Yeah, exactly. Am I crazy?
She jumped off the bed. She's out. Like, what a way to go. Like, that's a shitty injury.
Just a
drunken
injury.
That's something that would happen to Leroy.
Yes.
That's how Leroy goes home every season.
Even if it's like she's his partner and then like, sorry, Leroy, we couldn't get another partner for you. But then four other people that season get another partner flown in. Yep. It was like a finalist from a previous season. It was unreal.
Did that happen to him? Not that exact scenario, but was that him who's one of the girls got kicked off?
His cousin.
His cousin got busted open.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking there was one where – maybe it was a guy got kicked out off, and it was like, but it was a guy-girl teammates, and this was probably about 10 seasons ago. It was two episodes in, and the girl just started crying profusely because she knew she was getting sent home.
Yeah, no, you're right, Bobby. I don't remember specifically.
I was wondering if that was Leroy or not.
Maybe elephant memory there. Eddie might remember.
Might have been when Avery went home with him because his back was hurting him. I don't know, he had like a back injury one season.
Mm-hmm. I miss Avery. Left early.
Yeah,
it's a shame they don't bring her back. She's one of the biggest smokes on the show all time, and I would like to see her back on the show.
She did a Playboy, right?
Boyfriend?
I believe she's on OnlyFans.
Johnny Riley, he never came back either.
Riley was – that Real World season with them were good too.
Hurricane Naya?
They fucked in the bathroom at their work.
Yeah, that was a good season. They were
rad. I just looked her up, by the way,
because
I forgot what she looked like, and wow, she was great.
Portland.
That was Portland, yeah.
Portland, yeah. Like, shame on these girls. Big T gets bounced. No offense to Big T, but, like, that's on you for not going against her. Now you lose a fucking sacrificial lamb. That's on you if you don't get a Red Skull.
Mm-hmm. Quick aside, Big T, is that a good or a bad nickname to have as a female?
I think because it's somewhat – she looks small, so I think it's, like, an ironic thing. So it plays. Like, if she was average size, it's bad.
Yeah. It sounds like she brought her own nickname.
Yes. That too.
It's also important to note, too. Sorry, right when the show started, before the D stuff, Clem, was when Corey's like, bro, Nelson, Fessy, Rogan, they all got Red Skulls. This final's about to be epic. It's like, dude, what? That's an epic final? Who the fuck are you talking about, Corey?
Hey, Corey, what show are you watching, pal?
Rogan, Fessy, and Nelson's epic. But sorry, Club, continue.
No. Listen, Eddie, I missed that. That would have been number one in the notes if I had heard that line. I'm kind of like, I'm getting the computer all set up usually at that time to get the notes down, so that one was clearly went right past me. So thank you.
That's like a Titan Charger Super Bowl.
That's a great point. Then we had Swaggy. He was talking like a mile a minute, but I don't think that he was actually making any sense.
Money, though.
Yeah, but he was deliberating on it.
Bobby started to learn now. He started to see the way. Did you see what he gave Bailey for her birthday today, for 27th birthday?
No.
27 grand. That's how we do in the Swaggy Hive. Just fucking throwing cash in the air. Ain't no fang.
Clem, that's the next person you got to have the online relationship with. Start banking that cash.
I can't, man. I mean, I'm going to have to do it under my personal handle because we're blocked on fucking Twitter on No Quitter. So, am I crazy to think Big T might have been able to fucking pull a fucking Willis Reed or Jordan Flew game if she had the wig off? I feel like with the wig on, she doesn't have her superpowers. But the wig off, she just seems a little tougher, right? Is that fair to say? I mean, we kind of saw it in the bar that time. It's such a – Eddie, you made such a good point. I forgot she got hurt on a drunken, like, fall off a bunk bed. It was like fucking, you know, Achilles heel. Just fucking unbelievable.
I want to know – I hope somebody can – that listens to this, that works in MTV, can tell us. I want to know how long the time frame was from when the injury occurred to this challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious to know.
Good to know.
There's probably, like, an off day. I would imagine – 1, maybe 2 days.
Okay.
There's probably an off day. I feel like they have an elimination a week. So they have two challenges for each sex. So they have like two challenges. So there's probably like an off day in between.
would you guys feel about that? Like, I get they're doing physical stuff and you need time to rest, but would you want to just like keep it moving? Like every day there's something going on, or would you want that extra day?
I don't want to do any of it, dude. I'm fat and old.
I think the reason why they probably want to extend it is they know, again, like Bobby says, that bunker is doing the work for them.
Yeah, true.
That other shit is doing. It's driving them crazy. You get more drama if you just have people, you know, you get sick of each other. You know, even in college, by like the end of the semester, you're like, all right, this guy's fucking starting to get on my nerves. He's my guy, but like I've had enough of him. I imagine that's like that with just, you know, a bunch of fucking maniacs who don't even like each other to begin with, you know?
Think about this too. And this has kind of evolved throughout all of the MTV reality shows, starting with Real World, Road Rules. How much harder it must be now for all these people to go into these shows where there's no television, no internet, and they have nothing to keep themselves occupied except each other and maybe some workout equipment, to go into that environment where many years ago, there weren't cell phones that you were attached to all the time. There wasn't, you know, 800 channels and streaming services. So it might've been a little easier. So I'd imagine these kids now are just going even more stir crazy, much quicker.
Swaggy C is like conditioned to be on the fucking stock market for fucking like 8 hours a day. He has to be on there crushing and fucking making trades, and then it just take it away from him. He has businesses, and less than 100 businesses he's keeping going. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it can't be easy. Plus, like you said, the phone, the entertainment, all that shit. So, fair point.
Let's just, you know, spitball this here. Let's take the five of us and you just put us in a house with nothing. How long before like the five of us, you know, who, you know, presumably we all like each other.
The first time you get drunk. I mean, everyone here is drank with you. This is the first time you get drunk.
Oh, except Ed. Ed, I don't think you've seen me drunk, right?
So the second time you get drunk.
and you imagine, like, Ed, the first time I get drunk, Ed's like, all right, guys, enough. Like, he's okay. Like, he's not that
it's
bad.
It's not even like you're an asshole. You're just, you cross a point. Like, what is it? Like, is it dogs have, like, two sets of eyelids? Like, yeah. 100 dogs sleeping with his eyes open. You have, like, two, like, levels of drunk. Like, there's a point where you're just gone. And, like, you're not a dick, but you're just so annoying.
All right.
So that's fair. That's what would happen in there. But, like, you're nice and annoying. All you're just like, oh, how's your family? And you're like, I don't know, Connor. Like, I have no idea.
There's our answer. We got it.
All right.
I feel like there was a reality show somewhat recently where they just took the people's, like, phones away from them. And, like, there was more to
the circle.
The circle, right? Yeah. And that's – it's – I don't know, man. I wouldn't be in a good place. Like, imagine quarantine right now without the
– yeah.
There would be a lot more shit going on, I feel like. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing keeping us going right now.
Yeah, because we couldn't even pull back old school memory where we were kids when we didn't have internet and like this, like where you could just run around. Like we're all in our 30s. So it's like you can't survive the way that we did pre Twitter, pre social media, pre having a million channels on TV, whatever.
So that's kind of fun to argue with people without, the internet, though, you know, like
that's a great
how
point.
Was the day? It's like you can't just look it up. You can just die on your hill consistently. Yep.
So this is what I've been talking about on Twitter. This is why I think, and I know people at MTV listen to this, Connor should be on the challenge. Here's the full pitch. You do like a fresh meat type thing. Like they've been bringing people in off like Big Brother, do some kind of like fresh meat thing. Or maybe like, you know, social media people. Like that's how Jay got involved in some. He was like a DJ on Instagram. And that's how he ended up on like X on the Beach.
So Saluto Heroes. He's a veteran. Saluto Heroes.
Yeah, cool. Something like that. Yeah. So you bring him in. I do not work for Barstool in any way, but I can pledge their full support of tweeting about Connor being on there. Think about fucking Trent moving luggage. You get Connor on there. Connor is, he's just like got that like military personality and focus that you know he's going to train his dick off, right? He's, what are you, 36?
35.
So like by the time filming or airing, like 36. So, and so he's coming in late, like how DDP got in late in his career and still won championships. And he can get so drunk and then not have a hangover the next day. And that is such a dangerous thing. And I think it'd be ratings. I think you bring this guy in there. He could legitimately win it if they don't all just get him. Like, if it's not just him coming in alone, if they, you know, bring in other new people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would a lot to would depend too, like, of the people that we've met through this show and that I have somewhat of a relationship with, who of them would be on the show? Because obviously that would certainly help and go a long way if I could have some alliances.
Seeing if Connor can get stabbed in the back by bananas. Imagine. Fantastic.
Bananas would keep Connor around. He'd want the bar stool bump. He knows he'd have some of our audience come in, and I feel like Bananas would have your back for at
the
least
producer.
A little while.
The producer. The producer.
Did think you get a hall pass, idea. Connor, or no?
I'm not at liberty to say it.
All right. Oh, so well, if you do get a hall pass, podcast. Who would you use it on?
I guess that would depend on who's in the house.
The only addition I want to add to JJ's pitch is the four of us get to come on for one episode. So Eddie can be the hold back guy when somebody tries to fight Connor. I'm guessing probably Jordan. Jordan and Connor would definitely butt heads in an argument.
Yeah, that's
definitely
a good point.
I want to do the TJ air horn for the challenge. JJ and Clem, you guys can pick your one bit, but that's the one addition. We get to come for one day.
I want to be the bartender at the bar, like how they do on the Bachelor thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I would say I would bring out the cake. I want to be like a fly on the wall during one of those party nights just to live vicariously. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near. I want to watch the zoo. I don't want to be in the zoo with the lions and the tigers. I just want to watch from afar and be like, oh, those days are long gone.
But Clem wants to come for a good night's sleep in a hotel.
Yes, exactly. And preferably I get to and we all get to hang out with TJ that one night. Like when he told us in the interview back in the day, kind of, he's like, he had a friend named Shadow or something. Like he has fucking friends whose names aren't even real. They're nouns. They're things you say in Mad Libs. They're not actual people names. So
I wonder though, just because by nature, I can be a little argumentative. I wonder if I would come in, bombastic and speak in my mind, or if I would, hang back and kind of be quiet and just be like, oh, well, I'm the new guy, so I'm going to, keep my mouth shut and just kind of go along with everything. And
first see how time go. You drank.
Connor would know where all the dead spots of the cameras are too, because the serial killer in him is just looking to see where he can get where we should. So. Yeah. By the way, I've noticed now the Corey arm wrestling has been slowly being replaced with the serial killer tweets that have been coming into No Quitters.
But I would like to point out a thank you for the support from all those today when you tweeted out that video, and I had a lot of people coming back like, oh wow, I didn't realize Corey stood up and used his whole body. Corey cheated. So I got a little vindication there.
I don't see that. I think I'm going to put the interview. So we interviewed Corey for Podfathers because obviously he's teen mom as well. And he had a baby during a fucking pandemic, as was first reported on this podcast when my wife said his wife's water broke or his girlfriend's water broke. So I think I'll put it at the end of this podcast in case anyone wants to hear it. It's on Podfathers if you want to listen to it there. We busted Connor's chops a little there, but it was a bad look. I will say that, but I'll never admit that you lost that, anything but fair and square. Okay. we go to the challenge called Tunnel Rats. You know what the problem with this fucking challenge was? There were no fucking rats.
Yeah.
What? How are you going to say the word tunnel rats in a season where you're dialing it up to another level and there's no fucking tunnel rats? There's no rats in there. It was a bad challenge.
Challenges looked fun, too. You did a water slide.
That wasn't a slide. That was just straight down.
It's drop a water slide.
There was no slide part to it, though. There was just a pipe that you just drop down.
It looked like they rode it for a little, and then there was the drop.
No. It was straight down. It was like a 20-foot drop. It's not, though. Like a slide, eases you into the water as you go. And this was just like a hole in the ground that they dropped in, like Super Mario.
So it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, well, this is in the Czech Republic. And where the fuck did they just find this tunnel?
I think they manufactured it.
No, yeah. I think I want to believe that this already existed. And then they just, usurped it for the challenge.
Well, you can believe in Santa Claus, too.
I do. What are you talking about?
You got a problem with the big man. Yeah. So this, how I feel about this challenge depends on if it was actually man-made, like JJ said, or if it was already there, it was already a man-made thing, but they just kind of shoehorned it into the challenge. Because if it was made I feel like everyone complained a little too much. I will say, if it was a fucking hell of a drop, cold water is never fun. But we had fucking Swaggy C just straight up gave up with a fucking life jacket on. He's like, I can't do this. He has a life jacket on. What's going on right now? And I'm Sway Lee Hive till the day I die. But I mean, that was a bad look, Hans. I know you. I know
if you can't swim, you cannot do this.
Yes.
Like, you can't go on the challenge. Yeah. Eventually, like, you have 0% chance of winning. Eventually, you'll just, you know, you'll get screwed over by it.
But also, he had a life vest on. Like, even if you can't swim, can you move your arms? That's all you need to do, because the life vest keeps you afloat.
Nelson said he learned how to swim, and he clearly, like, learned how to do it in a book, because he didn't know what the fuck. He was, like, doing the dog. It was, like, the doggy paddle just
You're not going to be Michael Phelps, but you're not going to drown either, and Swaggy thought his life was over, which was hysterical. He's the first guy in the history of life vests to think he was going to drown. You know, Jack would like a word.
Did you see the word medic? The medic guy got his own little name tag. I love seeing that. I was like, oh, we got the medic in the pool or whatever the fuck it is, the tunnel. I don't know. I'm with JJ on this one too. I felt like this was a completely overrated challenge. Again, for someone like me to do it, I probably would be pissing my pants the whole time. Send these motherfuckers to Action Park. You want something that was dangerous? Look up Action Park in New fucking Jersey. People oh, God, there's a whole fucking documentary about that shit.
That place was great.
Yeah, that place was so fucking
tragic. Dangerous. Park, isn't that what they eventually end up calling it?
I think that was like one of the documentaries about it was called like Tragic.
Worst Park movie of all time.
What
did
what?
You see the Action Park? Yeah, Action the, Park movie.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, that's right.
Legit, yeah, it was doing so bad they pulled it from theaters like after 2 weeks or like
a
week.
I forgot all about that.
No, is it about the actual Action Park?
It's very bad. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Did
that's
you see it
that's
in
our
theaters?
Any review for the day. Not all good.
In theaters,
not
yeah.
good.
You
not
very good. Bad. Very bad.
Did you walk out, or was it one that you just sat through and was just like, I'm committed?
I see him today on Riggs.
Yeah.
I've never walked out of a movie.
No, me ever. Neither. Nope. Same.
I have. I can't remember them off the top of my head. I've walked out of at least two or three movies. I just said this. I don't have the time for this shit right now.
I walked out of Fast and the Furious.
Wow, that's kind of surprising.
I was just like, yeah. I was like, this movie's kind of stupid. And there's like, I could go outside with like a Puerto Rican girl. I was in the Bronx.
Fair enough.
I was in Co-op City.
Enough.
Yeah,
right, like, fair enough.
Cool. I saw Ja Rule at the beginning, and then I was good.
So I'll say about this challenge, I would say like swimming with a helmet and a life vest is considerably more difficult than just swimming normally. And I think that the difficulty where they were trying to create the difficulty is putting them in a dark, quasi dark tunnel that maybe would scare them, but it was really just, I don't know. It was pretty decently lit. I don't know. It didn't seem as crazy as what it actually came
especially
out.
Especially because this was the challenge they've kind of been teasing throughout the trailers.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
It didn't seem too tight either. Like, it didn't seem like you'd have to worry about.
You know what would have made this much more difficult and certainly much scarier? If the water level was so high that you only had like 18 inches between the top of the water and the ceiling, that would have scared some people. Get the claustrophobia in there.
Or some fucking rats. Give me some goddamn rats in the goddamn tunnel. That's all, man.
Well, I'm just wants the New York subway down there.
Yo, seriously, if there was a possibility of rats swimming next to me, that would have my mind in a different place doing that.
Czech rats, too? Like, Czech rats, you don't know what the fuck they're getting into. And I mean,
bro, Eastern Bloc rats over there?
Yeah. Coming in from Chernobyl, like they've migrated throughout the years to the fucking sewer system. Mm-hmm. This might be one of the things that is lost in translation on TV, but yeah, it didn't seem like much. Siobhan put up a bigger fight than our guy Swaggy did, and she popped an implant when she fucking went down. So I have to say, though, again, at least it's not just like jump into a pool or in a pond or a lake or whatever the fuck they have these people go. At least it is like a different setting. Yeah. So I'll give them that much. The puzzle was weird as shit too, right? Like it didn't really.
No, it didn't fit. I kind of liked it though.
Yeah, it made it tougher. I didn't realize at first that there was an outline that they had to fit it into.
Real quick breaking. Another tweet. All that hype for this, Popcorn Muscles totally cheated. Arm wrestling video. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant in the challenge.
I thought it was about Zach.
No. I just want my vindication.
How about your boy Swaggy C trying to do a puzzle with his helmet on backwards?
That was a tough look.
That was a tough look.
Josh trying to like talk over like people that know what the fuck a puzzle is, and he's like, it has the puzzle in his mouth. That was a tough look for him. Just the absolute worst. Teams 2 and 3 finished. Nani's team, I think it was team 3-1. Captain Hardo, how do you think you would have fared in this? Is this something you – do you handle any kind of shit like this back in your Army days, training or anything like
no, that? No, I can't say that I ever did swimming in a tunnel. I did swimming, but I'm a pretty good swimmer, so I think I would have done this well. But the other thing is too, like, you're only as good as your weakest link in this. So if you got Swaggy,
yep,
you're screwed. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter how I think I would have done. It would have mattered who's on my team.
Yep.
You don't – for what you like went through, you didn't have to do any like.
I had to do a survival water. Swimming. No, I had to do survival swimming.
Oh yeah, so I mean, I would imagine because this is once you get down there, they're not swimming far,
right?
So like, you've dealt with cold.
Yeah. But like we had to learn how to like you take like your pants off in the water and flip them over and then create a life vest for yourself out of your own pants.
Yeah,
that's a pretty useful skill to have in the world.
Ooh, yeah. More than all the time I spent worried about quicksand as a child.
Imagine, you know where this would serve me well is if I ever go to St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, Ed, and I jump in the river, and then I'm like, oh, shit, it's cold, and I don't know.
Or if, like wrestling, when you go to clothesline, one of your victims, they just flip you over like the Royal Rumble, and now you're in the Hudson in December.
This is a good point.
JJ, I'm 100% with you about that quicksand fear. It was something I irrationally feared for years and years and years for no fucking reason. That is cement. I was scared about getting cement, like it getting on me, and then if just like freezing, I become a statue. Man, fuck that. We go to the vote. The vote, it starts with a fucking Jenna calling Zach. That goddamn FaceTime. Boop, 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 boop.
They should have to communicate only via AIM. Jen and Zach should only be allowed to talk via AIM.
Yep, he would have so many little like sad faces and just.
Yo, imagine though, if you've seen now like movies and television show have started putting texts on the screen when like the character is texting someone. If they just had the AIM conversation and we got to watch it and they just like cut it up so edit it for time, but that would be great.
That would be pretty good. And I mean, Zach kind of was no better than like an AIM conversation, right? He just wasn't talking and like, you know, folding his arms and stuff like that. So I think an AIM conversation actually would have been better. Oh, and Zach's away messages would have been dashboard so passive aggressive. Oh yeah, exactly. And the Jenna storyline, they just really milked the shit out of that for what it ended up becoming, you know? Mm-hmm. Tori's probably like, what the fuck? This fucking chick didn't even want to be here, but we'll get into that later. We go into the vote. Casey and Anissa send themselves in.
Can I say, you know, something about Casey throwing herself in, everyone acting like she's such a hero. You have to go in to get a skull. So why is that brave? I think that's just smart. That's just something you have to do. So it's not like seasons past where like throwing yourself in was something to make note of. I mean, that's just saying like, hey, I want to go get a skull. Let me go do it.
I thought she did it just to remind everybody she was still on the show.
Yeah.
Because I literally forget every week she's there. Mm-hmm.
The discussion about it after just felt like time filler.
Yes. Yeah. There was some filler parts. Because
there was no vote. They were just like, well, we got to fill this time. So it's like, let's just talk about how brave you are and how maybe you're exposing yourself for the future. And it's like, what are we doing here? Someone get with someone in the bathroom.
it was surprising to see Anissa go in, I think, because she's she's never been the type to really throw herself in, because there's been formats like this before. She may have been on a season like it, she may have not have been, but I was surprised to see her step up and say she wanted to go in.
I guess the only reason you wouldn't throw yourself in is if you're like, I want to get on a tribunal and then be able to pick my opponent, which is the only real other thing you could do. But if you don't win the tribunal, you can end up getting, you know, basically shit out of luck with the Red Skull or have the decision made for you and get voted in and cause a whole scene. But could anyone else, like, was there anyone else who wanted to go and they just weren't the first two people to throw themselves in and be like, what the fuck, guys? Like, I wanted to throw myself in, right? Like, that's the one thing that I kind of I don't know how that works, or if this was all, you know, this probably was all agreed upon before the cameras were even on. So Rogan also snitches on D to Jenny, which I just fucking love. Just fucking blows that up. Like, so Eddie, give me just, so Rogan, D, and Jenny. I hate D. Rogan, I don't really give a fuck about, and I love Jenny. Is that kind of where we're standing in terms of, like, is that the temperature of most of the Challenge fan base for those three?
I mean, me personally, I'm pretty much indifferent to a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. I don't hate her. I don't like. I think they're okay TV, but I don't really have a side. D's just kind of doing too much, though. She looks mm-hmm. like an idiot here because she's like, now could be the right time, and then she doesn't make her move. It's like, well, why the fuck are you gonna, you know, start a fire if you don't even need, you know, if you don't even need to heat up the house? You know, it was just a dumb move by her. You know,
that's a good Eddie-ism there, right? Too. Why start the fire if you don't got to heat up the house? I like that. She's also saying Jenny's her best alliance, but she also doesn't want to face her. Again, this might have just been all just a drum up drama or whatever. So
it was weird. They really focused on D wanting to go against Jenny, and then just it didn't happen. Like they started the show kind of with that. They had that, like, the little deliberate, I guess it was what, when her and Rogan were talking, like that little deliberation, it felt like it was leading up to a Jenny versus D.
Mm-hmm.
And then just never happened.
I think it's funny how the newer people are always trying to start, like, you need a beef to stay relevant when you're, so like they're trying to start one. Josh just continues to try to start one with Wes. Like, even when Swaggy was telling Wes about it, he was like, oh, I don't care. Like, whatever. So, it feels like D's trying to, like, stay relevant. You know, you get hot, but you don't realize. Like, once you already have the red skull, shut up.
Yeah, once you get that skull, just, you know, stay out of the limelight there.
If they said they're going to buy, stop trying to sell.
Yep. There's no need to be a proper psychopath.
No need to be a proper psychopath. I guess that also is the other thing, too, is I don't know these people much, so D just seems a little, as the kids would say, extra right now. But this is all just, again, the way they edit it, the way they're pushing it. I also thought Jenny is, like, the greatest competitor ever, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, she got fucking bundled by Tori last year. So it's like I'm kind of going into these – every episode I, like, completely make my mind up about these people 100% one way or another. So.
And to be clear, D was not like this last season before. She just she got a win under her belt, and now she's like thinks she runs shit. So
she had a year with Wes and a win. So now it's like this is the output of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Rogan, like, she's an idiot because she's super loyal to Rogan. Rogan just fucking throws her under the bus every chance he gets.
Did he do that last year too? Does he just not give a fuck about?
They were fucking the whole season, and then it came time, like, there was other people they had to choose to go in, and he just threw her in willingly. He's like, sorry, I don't think he can swim, or I don't think he can run well, or something.
And then as soon as she expresses any interest anywhere else, he's right back.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I have a buddy who used to be like that with girlfriends, like with this one ex-girlfriend. Anytime she would move on, he would like go get back with her, like break that up. He'd do it again and again. And finally someone was like, dude, what, you don't love her? And he goes, yeah, I do. I understand love. She likes someone else, so now I love her. And that's right.
That's a good line.
Oh, no.
That's a good line. JJ mentioned it, too. We go to the bar. We got a new bar. I was talking at least a new section of the bar. No windows, so it could be
just be the same bar, different angles.
I want
them
to keep going down another level into like lower in the basement until they're fucking hitting the Earth's core by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. We get Josh versus Swaggy. Again, Josh just – I think he feels like he needs an enemy. I don't know what the fuck he's trying to do here. I also feel like – I made a note of this. Josh's voice – if the bartender hears that voice, I feel like he cuts you off. He's like, dude, you've had too much. He's like, no, this is just my voice as normal. He throws the drink at Swaggy. Fucking the Swaley Hive is fucking buzzing for his head.
Can you guys help me understand? Was he saying, why are you nexting me?
Next to me.
Oh. Okay.
He just started getting like rowdy to get rowdy. Yeah. And Swaggy's like, yo, just don't get rowdy again just to get rowdy. And he's like, why are you next to me? Like, everyone knows I'm going to get rowdy and emotional. And just like, he's hoping to like get into it with someone.
I thought he was saying nexting. And I was just out on some lingo for the kids.
This really showed that we're just past old school challenge, though. Because old school challenge, Bailey gets kicked out for like punching Josh to defend her guy.
Yeah.
Like that's the old school version. This was just Josh throws a drink, and then it's security holding everybody and, back and without really having to do anything.
Josh, that's Josh, like, as hyped as we've ever seen him. And he didn't stay up all night chasing them.
Yeah, I can't believe he didn't
You're
cry.
Not CT. You're not CT. Like, you need to be up all night.
You need to be all up all night, bending Wes's ear, spewing nonsense until the sun comes up.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know if it's just the quarantine. None of us have been in a bar since fucking March or February. But to see the bouncer, when he made that signal over – the bartender, when they made that signal over to the bouncer, you know, when he got on the bar, that made me feel alive again.
Yeah.
Why did he hop on the bar? We got to talk about that move.
Yeah, that was an outrageous – and like, that's again, the difference between this challenge and the old challenge is, like, CT would, like, try to literally eat your brains out of your head. This guy has, like, fucking – designer ripped pants on and he's standing on a fucking bar like he's at Coyote Ugly. You couldn't get two more different. He's doing the move. Oh God. It's different. All right. Have you guys ever thrown a drink at someone? Like a fuck. Cause that's like also like a very big girl move. I find is you throw it in someone's face. That's like the fucking old gag from like back in the day, the movies and shit like that. Were you guys ever drink throwers or anything like that?
No.
Like you said, it's always.
Because the other thing is, like, I want to drink that. I don't want to waste it on you. I want to drink that beer.
Connor, you could fucking sacrifice a keg beer in high school. You don't act like every drink is fucking most valuable.
They started doing it in Yankee Stadium in, like, Section 205 and 206, throwing beers in the air when they hit a home run in the playoffs. It was the fucking worst. Dude.
That's a $12 beer. F out of here with that. Yeah.
Well, it's cold. It's October. What are we doing?
Yeah.
That poor A's fan. I still can't get over that video.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that A's fan. That was fucked. They were getting killed the whole game, right? It wasn't like fucking Yankees were in control the entire goddamn room, like the first pitch on. Fucking poor son of a bitch.
Fucking ninja guy with purple hair. The guy had fucking hair was green. Who's he on?
I have a group of friends who like we got into a pretty big
kerfuffle
phase for a few years. Where like it would be at a tailgate or whatever, and you just start pouring beers on a guy and then another guy. And like if you're just fucking around, you just start pouring beers on each other. It was not a very fun time. You're always looking over your shoulder. It wasn't like any malice. It's like you love the guy so much you're gonna pour a full beer on him, and then he's just gonna go to the bar soaking wet like an asshole. But just not a good look.
Jack can't even stomach that.
It's just worse because then, like, you're all sticky and you smell stale beer even more.
Stale beer is the worst smell. Yep. So to smell like beer like that?
Guys in my frat would give pledges. Like, you had to do, like, an assignment for every brother. Some would just give it to you, like, you had to get a page in a book. And some would be like, you have to go, I think they just called it hogging, 3 times. And I have to see it. And it was, you had to go up and dance behind a fat girl with a beer on your head until it fell on her.
Oh,
it was very terrible. Mean. Terrible. I never did it.
I don't condone that.
No, it was a bad time.
It's a bad time, had by all. Well, so this was the next thing. We end the night with after this little fight with a little bit of closing time, which
that was great.
Great,
and I mean, and the mentions just light up. I love between you guys, our listeners, me and my wife. When the fucking throwback music comes on, it's just everyone's alive. I can see again the mentions are lighting up. It was just a beautiful thing to see. It was a great song. Great song. I have to go back in the views and see if anyone had closing time because that was a hell of a song to play. I would love to get the answers to this if we just went on a riff, but I don't think anyone could actually name it. I'd said best or worst memory when closing time plays. I don't think any of us remember that shit, but I guarantee we all had something good happen to us when this song was on at a bar, and we've all had something bad happen to us. Because this is one of those late end of the night kind of things right here, where you're either leaving with someone or someone else is leaving with someone else, and you're just sitting there fucking in your beer. So,
what bars do you go to that are like rom-com, like, last song?
Closing time. No, closing time.
That was
time
a staple at college bars, really? Sure.
Wasn't that always like at 3 a.m.? Like, around 3 a.m., closing time would come on. I'm not saying, like you said, the credits aren't rolling on the night. You don't see names going like, by our heads. But, you know, closing time was definitely in the DJ's, like, closing mix, I'd say. Like, that's right. 5 or so. But,
shout out to Bananas Jacket.
Yeah. That was wearing it the entire time, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yep.
When he goes to these bars, it looks like he's there just because he's told he has to be. Yes. He does not look like he's happy to be there at all.
No. The last thing image in the bar was CT just like sitting by himself, just like, I don't want to be here. I want to be home, or just leave me the hell alone.
Yeah. He just looks like he's sitting there just sipping on club soda. Doesn't care.
I was going to say, like, I'd see, like, a Diet Coke. I'd see, like, the lemon in it or just, like, water. Like, and they're like, no. It's like a fucking comedy club. It's, like, 3-drink minimum. You guys all need a little bit of alcohol in your system so we can maybe stir up some fucking kind of a fight with you guys. Those guys are just – I'm just here so I don't get fined. Marshawn Lynch style. Mm-hmm. We go to the tribunal. Kayla asks for Casey. She doesn't want any part of Anissa. Goes right for Casey. Everyone's asking for favors, which, considering it's, like, every girl – except for one who doesn't get voted in there, is saying they won't throw anyone in, which is such a fucking lie. I feel like they never, at least so far in this season, no one's been like, oh, by the way, you said you weren't going to vote for me 2 episodes ago. That's
the tribunal is like, what can you promise the 5 of us?
Yeah, exactly.
Equally and above all others.
I just don't think it matters. Like, when the tribunal happens on episodes, I kind of just tune out because I feel like they already have made it up in their head who they're going to choose. So, and nothing anyone comes in and says is going to blow them away such that they'll completely change their minds. So I think the tribunal, I think it's a nice idea, but I don't think that it really sways the votes one way or another.
Yeah.
They'll just say whatever they think the people want to hear to get themselves thrown in if they want to get thrown in, and stay out if they want. So,
yep. I think they're probably hoping maybe down the road when it's really tight and you're having people who either need a skull or there's some sort of beef or something that maybe can bubble up. But again, it's like my kid saying, my daughter saying she's going to go to bed on 10 tomorrow. I know you're not going to go to bed. It's going to be a fucking fight and we're going to have the same fucking discussion the next day and the day after that, no matter what. So,
yeah, if I go to bed on her time tomorrow, will I get ice cream? Yeah, sure. And the next night, she's a terror.
Here we are again. Anything else? Again, I don't think there was anything else from the tribunal. Did you guys catch anything else from that? Again, it was kind of just whatever.
No.
We go in the elimination.
Anissa, I like Kayla calling herself trash. That was funny.
Yes. That was
very self-aware.
That was a good line. That was a good joke.
He's like, let me get out in front of him. You're already going to call me trash. I'll just say it myself.
It has to suck knowing that you're going on these challenges and you're just thinking of all the jokes that the idiots at home are going to make on Twitter about you, you know, present company included. You know,
Connor would have to answer for our sins too.
Yes.
The other thing we should have mentioned. Like, I would have such a target on my back if I went on this show, because everyone would be like, wait, who's this guy? And then they'd be like, oh, he has this podcast where he just talks so much negative about all of us, except for like 3 people.
So there's got to be like 5 podcasts about the challenge. And you could probably find 5 people between like guys, girls that could all go on.
Yeah. That would have to be it. So I'm not the only one.
Make it happen, MTV. Make it happen.
I saw that they might be taking YouTubers next season. So as crazy as it is, you might have a shot.
That's a step closer to us. Yeah.
Hans, do you have a 0 Block 30 YouTube?
Yeah.
All right. So there we go. You're fucking new YouTuber. Let's fucking get that. You're a veteran YouTuber. He's a goddamn louse when he's out at the bar. What's not to love about this guy? Connor, I would have loved to have seen some of the, we'll just say the late night, you know, at the Yuppie Junk shows and some of the old, bar stool nights. If there was a camera in front of you there.
Oh my goodness.
It would have been very interesting, my friend.
Let's leave it there.
I'll leave it there.
Sleeping dogs lie.
We go to the elimination. We get Anissa, the queen of the eliminations, as Chase W says. She's won 8, but in about 18 seasons. But nonetheless,
I did like the visual, though. Like, before they were leaving the house, Anissa's like jumping rope like Rocky, getting ready to train. And it's like, I've never seen in 13 season Anissa do anything physical besides just the challenges. So for her jumping rope, that was a funny visual. But she was going in with the right mentality.
Yep, I appreciate that. And Anissa, I think there's no beef anymore. All beef has been squashed. She hasn't been called the DB word in a long time. Mm-hmm. Her and JJ are fucking, I mean, we're just waiting for the quarantine to be lifted and they can just start partying together.
That's my brunch plans.
That's my girl. I was proud of her today.
Yeah.
We get Kayla versus Casey, and Jenna gets voted in against Anissa. So fucking Nani just seemed not to care that the Holy Trinity was just gone, basically. She's like, oh, these girls can get out of my life. I can focus on my game again. We learned Bear gave Kayla a good luck ring, which was a nice little token, I thought. I missed that at first.
Also, one thing about Kayla, Kayla was like, yeah, no, I want Bailey or who, Casey, because I already beat Anissa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Makes no
so
sense.
Then yep. Do that. Do that again. Run that play.
It worked too well the first time.
I think she, honestly, I think everyone talks about Jenna. I think Kayla was throwing this because she wanted to get shipped out on the similar flights to Bear. And that's how she ended
up. I was just about to say that. Did anyone else think she was checked out? Because she looked checked out to me for sure.
That's a good point. She's a fighter when she needs to be, right? And she got absolutely destroyed. I don't think Casey's a slouch or anything, but she got absolutely worked. She definitely seemed to have that kind of like lovesick look in her eye. And today is a very, very special day, right, JJ?
It's Mikey P's birthday. Kayla, Kayla gets sent home to go cheat more on Mikey P's birthday. Damn. All damn. I said all damn.
All damn.
We can admit this challenge sucked. The elimination sucked, right?
It was literally just
move weight out.
Move medicine balls, but I like that MTV called them bombs.
Yeah, and then added a smoke bomb for that for no reason whatsoever.
Listen, I like the effort. Like you call it something, just don't call it a medicine ball. So they're calling it something that they're putting forth effort. A for effort.
Yep, A for effort. Jay Allen, 1868, says, this just may be me getting old, but all I can think about is how I'd be throwing my back out. He said that, and I was like, oh, fuck. I could just, like, feel that after, like, bomb six. I'm just fucking on the ground, like, writhing in pain.
It looked annoying, though, for sure. To lift that many, 100, was it? 100 medicine balls? That's a pain in the...
And it probably wasn't, like, the best surface they were on. It looked like a makeshift wagon.
Yeah.
Yep.
I noticed though, like while they're competing, Josh had some really, really great coaching from the side. He said, "Don't tire out," and then he said, "You got to work fast." I was like, "Wow, this guy need him in my corner."
He's John Madden.
Yeah, seriously, Josh, you figured it out, my guy. Don't tire out.
This was an elimination made for Jenna, though. Like, this is the type of elimination that Jenna's typically good at.
I was waiting for her to pull it off again. Yeah. I was expecting that. I was expecting her to pull it off again, but credit to Anissa for finding that second gear and getting
it. I didn't know if Anissa was going to have, like that second gear, the wing to keep it going. 100 bombs, right? That was how much it was.
100 bombs.
Pretty heavy. And Jenna, she's like, has that Forrest Gump strength. It just keeps going and going, right? She doesn't stop, and she doesn't even know how the fuck she does it, it seems, half the time, but she always gets there. So I thought she had it actually locked up, and then as I realized it was getting closer, I was like, oh, shit. And, yeah, shout out to Anissa. She fucking did it.
You would think Jenna would have the endurance because she runs, she models. If it was just, like, straight power, like if it was a hall brawl, you know, Anissa just is more physically imposing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, maybe that's been her training, like kind of CrossFit.
When I saw the bombs and everything and the way it was laid out, I said, oh shit, Jenna, like Anissa, maybe like a hall brawl kind of a thing. But no, Anissa fucking earned it, no doubt. Hearing Jenna say, I have to win this so I can bribe Zach to get back with me, I was blinded with rage for 2 fucking minutes. I was so angry when she
first saying she's about to have a good life with Zach made me blind with rage.
That girl is just such a goddamn keeper, and he's just the pits. He's just the goddamn pits. Next on, looks like
trivia.
We get trivia.
Trivia.
Nelson, when he finds out it's trivia, I don't know if it's editing. It looks like fucking Nelson's like dog just died. He's like, oh god, no. TJ's laughing at everybody. It looks like a fun time. And we also get potentially the mega powers exploding here. It looks like we have a Wes and Bananas, a little hiccup in the alliance here. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know if I missed anything in that elimination. There was like a couple of minutes at the end there that it was just kind of like Anissa was talking about it. She won and all that shit. If there was anything I missed, feel free, or else we'll go to MVP, LVP.
No, I just think for the next one, I think the way it looked, it seems like Wes has decided, like at some point they'd obviously have to go against each other. And Wes has decided instead of them being the last two, it probably makes sense to just do it now, which makes no sense.
I mean, It would almost be weird. I almost don't like that they're teasing it. I feel like that's something that they're going to pull the fucking okey-doke on us. But, I mean, they may just say, who gives a shit at this point? It's already, like TJ said, we're already more than halfway through the season. I did like another double elimination tonight, too. That was a nice getting another double elimination back-to-back.
Three eliminations today, really, with Big T leaving.
That's true. And I didn't think there'd be I thought when she left, I was like, oh, the girls lucked out of any potential double eliminations. Nope, they still got it. MVP, LVP, JJ, lead us off here.
Oh, my MVP is Anissa. She got the job done. Got the job done. And we're just becoming best friends, which is great. And I think that'll be a good alliance for Connor when he gets in.
Yes. Now. Yes.
LVP. I'm sorry. Can we just spitball a little bit? Who would be good people for me to be in alliance with?
You have no choice but to do bananas.
Bananas for sure.
I mean, it's going to be
Corey, because he'll just arm wrestle you on national TV then.
You didn't even think about Nelson. Never talk to me again, Connor.
I wouldn't think about Nelson. Don't worry.
Nelson will approach you with some sort of deal. They'll be ready.
Ed, who are some of the newer people in the recent seasons do you think would be good?
I can see you getting along with Rogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fessy.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk college football.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, how many impacts is Melissa going to have pregnant? Just drop it in the water.
Every time I'm sitting, I'm like, no, don't do it, girl. Don't do it.
She tweeted about that today. She's like, oh, I noticed my belly was a little bigger. Sorry for the cold water, my child, or something like that.
Jesus.
So the totally impact plus the shock of the fucking cold water hitting your baby is not a good fucking look.
I gotta believe that, you know, your OBGYN will say that's not a good idea.
Yeah. Where were you for the last 6 months? Oh, in the Czech Republic. That's never good just in general. Did she have the baby or is she still pregnant?
She had it. She said, I am breastfeeding my baby while looking at my stomach and noticing that you're probably inside of me at that moment. Sorry for the cold water.
Oh my goodness.
It's a wild tweet.
Jeez, it is a wild tweet. What a wild ride.
Other than that, Cons, I think you're just going to have to skew towards the older people just because, I mean, you're an older person too. I just think, I don't know. You might have the endurance since, again, you still have like the, you act like a man 10 years younger than you are. So maybe you could hang out with the younger crowd, but that's going to take a lot, man.
I don't know if I want to. Like, hopefully Bananas is there and I'll just be like, dude, who do we like?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. JJ, LVP?
Oh, Kayla. I mean, fair enough. She wasn't there. She was
on Mikey P's birthday, no less. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I did this for Mikey P.
Riggs, who you got MVP, LVP?
MVP, TJ Lavin's laugh. When Melissa dropped in, he had just a vintage TJ, just like,
ow. That made me uncomfortable too, because I was like, if only you knew, Teej.
Which might make it even better because he has no idea and he's just laughing hysterically at it. So with that, like, we had the TJ when he was so excited to drop the rats line. Like, it was just TJ was just so happy tonight.
Because you're all a bunch of rats.
Yeah.
So that was a great line.
So TJ's my MVP. My LVP is Josh. Like, it just he's just no. Yeah, it's Josh.
That's a good answer. Josh is definitely on the list for sure. Cons, who you got?
Yo, my MVP is our girl Anissa because I just like that visual of her jumping rope. Like, yo, I'm getting ready. I'm jumping rope. Meanwhile, she probably jumped rope for like a total of 12 seconds, and that was they picked up 4 of it and put it on. But good for her. I'm digging that. LVP was Josh.
What a backhanded MVP.
Yeah. Whatever. No. But also for that second gear that she found to get it done in the actual challenge. In the
Cons, this is not how we fucking harvest fucking alliances, by calling out people and giving them the MVP award of all things.
Unbelievable. Sorry.
I gotta start thinking big picture.
Yo, and my LVP was for that lovely coaching that he did, Josh. Go faster. Go faster. Do the thing faster.
Go faster. Eddie, who do you got?
MVP, I'm going to just go with the swim challenge completely. Not this one particularly, but just swimming challenges in general. But always funny because some idiot doesn't know how to swim. So that's my MVP.
Let's light a candle for Leroy. Let's light a candle for Leroy too, because this is where he really shined yeah, every season. Right.
Leroy and this one would have been perfect too.
I watched a YouTube video. I saw a classic.
That's so good. That's so
unbelievable.
Yo, I always feel bad for people when they can't swim too, because they're just like terrified, and you just know that's not a good feeling.
So Leroy having to like wait to drop in knowing he can't swim would have been worth it alone, though.
Yeah. He's just shaking, this fucking just chiseled man, terrified. And what do you got, LVP?
LVP, she brought up after, but I made the note before. I was disappointed with Maddie. She's my LVP. He matched up strength for strength well with Anissa. I don't know why she wanted nothing to do with it. The one girl who was not in the mix at all. Maybe she's looking to just go for like a, you know, a squash match against Nani or something. But I thought this was a great opportunity for her, and she just seems kind of out of it. So I'm disappointed with her.
My guess is from the like quarter poll they did like the this season on like the rest of the season preview, and it seemed like people realized somebody's gonna get fucked not having a skull. I think it's gonna be Maddie. Like that's what tonight made me kind of think.
Yeah, that it's right, enough to be her.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
Yep, I could see that too. I could see that too for sure. My MVP, I'm gonna give it to Casey. I just think she took care of business. Again, Kayla really didn't wow me or anything, but I just think Casey just took care of business like you can ask for. And I just like Casey. I don't know why. I think Nani kind of sold me on her too. She's never the few times she's on the show I've liked her, so whatever. LVP, Zach. Just fucking, I mean, way to fucking put a bullseye in your girl's back there. She had a red skull and might have been able to just fucking, you know, Jenna her way to the finals just by being nice to everyone. And instead, she's like a fucking mopey person that her own alliance basically votes her in. So,
We kind of let her get off scot-free here. Like, what is going on? Like, I thought she was going to be cruised to the end. And then literally an episode later, she's already fucking gone.
Talk about wanting to go home.
Come on.
It was a bad
She had it.
The heart wants what the heart wants. I disagree with it 100%, and that's why he's the LVP, because he's a fucking louse. He's the worst. He's the goddamn worst. But the good thing is we won't see from him anymore. I hope we do get, like, the next couple that goes on FaceTime. That would have been Jordan and Tori, though, but Jordan's home now, too, so we kind of aren't going to get anybody else anymore. That's a bummer.
Unless you're Swaggy. Swaggy and Bailey get separated.
Yeah. If Swaggy has to go home and attend to the portfolio, and then he goes home, and then
Swaggy's losing money. Winning this $1 million.
Exactly.
How about Swaggy's girl when he was in that little dust up at the bar? She just went off into the corner and was very much not pleased. Listen, if I had a nickel for every time I put someone in a corner because they were displeased with how I was acting at a bar, a lot of nickels.
First time you drink.
You hear that, MTV? This guy can be yours for the fucking whatever the cheapest price of an appearance fee is. He'll pay you.
Just I can pledge. Barstool will get behind this.
It's a promise from the non-Barstool employee for our part-time employee.
We'll get behind it. On the non-Barstool podcast.
Yeah. There's like seven degrees of separation before you actually get to a Barstool paycheck. Right
now, exactly. So. But, and so I feel confident in that promise that everyone will do the right thing.
Oh, man. If you guys want to hear this, potentially hear this one day on the Barstool Network, you guys got to subscribe, rate 5 stars. Today's challenge for rating 5 stars, I want to see the best, either your screen name or the best screen name of someone you had. We'll choose the best screen name next week out of everyone's screen names from back in the day. We got fucking Lefty 22.
Add with it, screen name and your best away message.
Ooh, okay. We could do best away message as well. I like that. Lefty 22, good one there. Stone Cold Ed. There were some Stone Cold Ed lines today. You had some fucking lines. You're like, cons, blah, blah, blah. Stone Cold Ed came out a couple times, and I'm almost scared that we woke him up like the Undertaker.
Yeah, the AM talk's a good warm-up, you know? It puts me in a good comfort zone, and I was ready to go.
I appreciate it. I like that. So what we're going to do – anybody else have anything to add here? Anything good? We all good? All right, so what we're going to do here is I'll throw the Corey interview in from Podfathers just because in case I'm, you know, we do talk some challenge on there, talk some Team Mom. If you guys are Corey fans, anti-Corey fans, you guys can listen to Corey. And if not, see you next week. Don't quit on us. We won't quit on you. All right, and we are getting into an interview now with an old friend of mine, an old pal, in a different universe, a different world, a different podcast of mine, the No Quitters podcast, which is the best MTV, the challenge podcast in the universe, for those of you that don't know. I don't even know. There's probably some Podfathers listeners that don't know this about me, but I started an MTV, the challenge podcast with Captain Cons way back in 2015 when I had just gotten hired at Barstool. I think it was my first week there. It was me, Cons, and this guy, Big Cat, who I don't know if anyone really knows about. He's this little blogger that has, you know, done a couple of things here and there. And we did an MTV The Challenge podcast, and we had on in the past our friend who's joining us today, Mr. Corey Wharton. He's joining us today. He, as I always thought there would be a chance when I interviewed you on No Quitters, I thought I may have you on my Podfathers podcast one day. And turns out you're a two-time father since the last time we spoke. So how's it going, my friend?
Yeah, man. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having me. You know, I love interviewing with you guys. I love the questions you guys ask. But I am now a two-time father. I guess that's the term. You know, I got two kids. My newest one, Mila Wharton, she was just born last week. So I'm very new to this whole newborn thing. But life is good, man. I really can't complain. My baby's healthy. Ryder's healthy. Taylor's healthy. Like, with all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, I think the most important thing right now is health, and all my family members are healthy. So I'm just thankful for that, man. And then to have two shows on MTV right now is a perfect time, right? Who doesn't want two shows on when everyone's locked up in their house and they have to watch you? So life is good, man. I can't complain.
I'm just waiting for I'm sorry, Lodge.
I'm sorry. We were just talking about people that are going to really ton it in this unfortunate situation. And you hate to say, you know, but everyone has to do something, right? And with 25 million Americans out of work and stuff like that, I like talking to people that can flip the script a little bit and know that they're doing, like we were talking about the Jordan documentary, right? Last Dance.
Okay, yeah.
I was saying I mean, I'm enjoying it, but my God, the timing of rushing that to put that out during the quarantine and making that must-see TV on a Sunday night when there is no other sports except for the Chinese baseball, Korean baseball league?
Korean baseball, yep.
Korean baseball. Yeah. I mean, that's all they have to go up against. So for you to still be socially relevant as far as pumping out content during the pandemic,
yeah,
it's ideal. What's not ideal is having a baby. And like all we hear, right? And so like I have three kids. My oldest is 15-year-old boy. I got a 12-year-old boy. And then I got a 10-year-old girl who's very, very expensive. Like all we're hearing about is how people who are having babies in the pandemic, like we were lucky enough to have three people at Barstool, Coley Mick, Willie Colon, who's my host with me on Barstool Breakfast, and then our other host, Brandon Newman, all had kids right before the shit hit the fan. But we haven't spoke to anyone who's been in there since. Clem was one of those guys that was in there, wanted to cut the cord with his teeth. I was the guy who was like, don't put him anywhere near me till he's all cleaned off. Did you even have the opportunity to get in there and see your little girl be born? Or is it one of those things where no one could be within 12 feet?
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I was able to be in the room, which was nice. I was able to cut the umbilical cord, which was important to me.
That's gross.
Yeah, so it was nice. I mean, it was more so for my girlfriend, Taylor. Her family wasn't allowed to come to the hospital. So, I mean, put yourself in her shoes. You know, she's like 25 years old. This is her first kid. She can't share that experience with her parents. And she's very close with her mom and her dad. So, you know, I think it was harder on her because of all the stuff she was going through. But, you know, on me, I just tried to – I got some pom-poms. I got my cheerleading skirt on. I was just letting her know, like, I'm there for you. I tried to make sure she was as comfortable as possible, you know, especially with all this craziness going on. But it was a lot. Like, even being in the hospital, it's kind of stressful because everyone's walking around in, like, suits. I mean, not, like, a suit, but, like, a medical suit and, like, masks over their face. And you just feel dirty. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but anytime I even walked into a hospital, it kind of, there's that aroma in the air. You just know you're in a hospital, right? So, I mean, it was rough, man. I mean, but We knocked it out, and the doctors were kind enough to let me cut the umbilical cord.
Hold on a sec. Clem, did you hear what he said? We knocked it out. 22 hours of labor.
That baby out,
22
man.
Hours of labor, 45 minutes of pushing. I just got that off the social. We knocked that out, Clem. He was. It winds up that he had a Charlie horse during the last 5 minutes. So now he's talking about himself like he's a fucking warrior. You gotta throw that shit away, man. Throw it away.
I had to deal with the pregnancy from day one. We knocked it out. We handled it well.
All right. Corey has a way to talk himself into a lot of trouble. So this is very on brand what he's doing right now. You said it, Corey, man. Like, dude, I just go to the grocery store and I know the symptoms of COVID isn't like you're itchy, but I get itchy because it's like just in my brain, right?
You're going to the hospital. Like, it's just like you throw a mask on somebody and they instantly you're like looking at them funny and you're like, okay, are they sick? Like, what's going on? Like, it's crazy right now, man. I'm just happy that hopefully we get sports coming back. I heard the NBA should be opening up to certain teams or something like that. So,
well, I think the UFC is up. Like, UFC is going to have like the small card. I think maybe only 5 fights with no crowd, which I find to be off, but I'm a boxing guy, not as much MMA, but I've seen, like, the only thing I've seen even close to that, and I've spoke to a couple of professional fighters, you know, during the pandemic, is that I've watched a little bit of WWE just because out of curiosity, and to even watch those guys in an empty arena, it's unbelievable how much that takes off. Like, I admit, like, how much it takes off the experience, like to kind of hear the slaps a little more. You would think it'd be almost better. It's not. Like, I want it to be back and back. I want everyone back, everyone eating hot dogs, everyone shaking hands. Like, you know, like that type of shit. Like,
it was basically when they were talking about having the NCAA tournament with no fans in the stands. And everyone was like, how is that going to work? And some coaches even came out and said, you know, we don't want to play the games if the fans aren't there. It's not going to be the same. And, you know, I was kind of on that bandwagon. But now I'm to a point where I'm like, I'll do anything to watch sports. I don't care if fans are there or not, you know, at this point. But, yeah.
Hey, and it's kind of working out for you because we always say the fifth unofficial sport in America is the challenge. And that's what you're on there. You're out there. And like Large said, there's basically 23-hour block of ridiculousness. There's the challenge. And then there's you on Teen Mom. That's all there is on MTV these days. So it's CTV. It's Corey Television right now. And your face is
perfect timing, man. You know, I'm not saying the virus is positive in any way. We all want this shit to be over. But, you know, if there is a time to be on TV, right now is a perfect time. So.
If you launched a wine label, because I go for walks with the family and those recycling buckets that used to have a lot of Poland Spring, I have a couple of, like, they're all filled with wine bottles now. So, I mean, people are tonning it. I'm just curious, like, even without new sports, I'm very satisfied watching old, like, athletic competitions. And the one that I've been on just constantly streaming, I watch it over and over again. First round of Hagler-Hearns. And the second one that I just can't stop watching is when you beat up Cons in the arm wrestling competition.
That's definitely top five. That's got to be like a morning routine. You just wake up and you watch that to get motivation to know that I beat Cons. So.
Yeah, because it wasn't even close. That's what I like about that. Like, sometimes the Gotti Ward trilogy people like because it's such like a back and forth. But to see the domination of a guy like Cons from beginning – we love Cons here. But we know how limited he is. Like, to see the domination of him from beginning to end, I just wanted to make sure we mentioned that a couple of times on the show. And one of y'all
I still get tweets about this. Like, when I didn't understand, like, who Cons was or kind of, you know, I didn't understand that this was going to be carried on for 4 to 5 years after it's happened. Like, literally, it's crazy. They all thought I had popcorn muscles. Fair enough. So I said, you know what? Let's just solve this now. And so it was easy. I'm not going to lie. Cons, you got to get your weight up, buddy. Get your weight up, son. Come on, baby.
He is getting his weight up, but not in the arms. I can tell you that much. A lot of fucking charcuterie out of Cons. We show him every now and again. Honest to God, he's one of the nicest guys in the firm, if not the world. And we love him. But fuck Cons. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, right. I'm on that bandwagon.
It just made my day hearing that about Cons too, because he has that smile in his face when people talk about the arm wrestling, where it's like, I'm really not mad. This doesn't bother me. And you look in the eyes, you're like, this is killing you inside. Mr. West Point.
No, it's just eating him up on the inside, man.
I'll tell you, quick thing before we pivot away from Cons. I've gone on a couple of sessions with him. Like, I'm a big drinker, and he'll show up at like 9 o'clock, and it'll look like he stepped out of like an Eddie Bauer catalog. And then I'll look fly as hell too. I'm a good looking guy. You can't tell now. I'm a little bummed down. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I look like I got hit by a fucking bus. Cons looked like he stepped out of that same catalog. I don't know how he does it. He's a fucking robot. So that's why we have so much animosity towards the guy.
Nice, man. Nice.
We gotta remind everybody right now. We're gonna remind everyone towards the end of the show too. You have a YouTube channel. Right?
Yeah.
YouTube channel or show? What do we classify?
Yeah. So basically, I just started a YouTube channel. It's called The Wharton Family. For anyone that's watching, you know, go look at it. It's going to be a ton of family content. It's just basically, it's something other than what you see on TV, right? So Teen Mom, you guys watch this, and it's usually taken from the point of view of Cheyenne, right? Because she is the Teen Mom. And I just thought, hey, why not start a YouTube where I can control the narrative, right? Like, I get to control the big picture. So that's kind of what my YouTube is. It's from my point of view. I do vlogs. I did behind the scenes on the challenge promo when we promoted Total Madness. I did like a behind the scenes video. I did like the baby food challenge with my little girl Ryder, and you know, just anything family related, it's going to be on the YouTube channel. And again, you guys, check it out. It's The Wharton Family. I pay a good amount of money to get these videos done, so you guys better watch it. You better like it.
And I will say this, because we looked at the videos. Like I said, I went on the thing after they told you they were going to say you came on the show. They sent us the thing, and I have to say, it's very well produced, too. Like, it's not like Nelson. It doesn't look like Nelson produced it. It looked like someone with a brain produced it.
I did everything, and it was legitimate. It's one of those things where it's like, I've been so scared to pull the trigger for so long, and I've just been hearing, you need to do this. And after going on Total Madness and being in a bunker for 2 months and just thinking about everything, I was like, you know what? This year, I'm going to put some more money into myself and see what we can do. And so I bought a really nice camera. I shoot with a Sony, got a nice mic for it, you know, nice little investments. And I just wanted to make sure that the product that we are pushing out is legit. And so I'm glad that people are liking it. So I appreciate that, man. Appreciate it.
No, it's good. And again, kind of like you said, I feel like everyone kind of feels like they know you, obviously, from all the different social. So I was breaking down. I was talking to Large, who isn't as addicted to MTV as I am. We're talking about all the different stuff. So you started on MTV on The Real World, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about that was you were with – it was the explosions where you got surprised that your ex is in the house. That was like the big twist of that season, right?
Yeah.
So that's how we meet you for the first time, on again, off again. Obviously, you and the ex have some stuff. Then we meet you on – then you go to the challenge and you're Mr. Corey. You're the player, which I'm the player. We say with love, right? You know, we say
you love. Accept it, man. I'm not scared to say I used to be a womanizer. That's why God gave me two beautiful daughters.
And that's right.
Now I have to buy a shotgun because they are gorgeous. But definitely was a womanizer. I can say that.
And that's how it works. Like they say, you're going to be looking out for the Corys once they're, you know, they're teenagers and all that kind of stuff. You'll be doing that. Then we had you on from the challenges. Obviously, we met Cheyenne, and you and Cheyenne had your first child, your first daughter, Ryder, obviously. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then how old is Ryder? 2 still, or is she 3?
Ryder's 3, man. Okay. Ryder's big. She's 3. She's going to start paying bills soon, too.
Me and you, I got a 2-year-old here, and I got a 5-year-old. I got a 5-year-old daughter, 2-year-old son. So I kind of have a little bit of where you are, where you're going. And let me tell you, my friend, best of luck. And obviously, I know where you are right now with the newborn. And these on the show, we have Large, like you said. He has 15, 12, and 10. Or is Finn 13, Large? Is he 13?
15, 12, and 10,
15, 12, and 10. And then we have Chaps, who's off for right now, but he's coming back soon. And he is, I think, a 14 and a 6 to maybe 7-year-old. So these guys, they hear me. I just basically bitch and moan on the podcast. You're kind of in the same boat I am. Trust me, it does get better, but you're still in the cloud, the first 6-month cloud with the newborn. You're kind of stuck there right now.
It's rough, yo. The first 6 months, for me, because – long story short, I didn't know that Ryder was my child until Ryder was 6 months old. So I haven't got to go through the newborn stage yet. I haven't been a father for that. So this time around, just seeing like her sleep schedule and things like that, like it's definitely the 0 to 6 months is a rough time. I have to say, like,
welcome.
It's a lot better when you can ask them like, "Are you hungry?" and they can say yes. You know what I mean? Like this whole guessing game on what's going on is it can play its toll, man.
Yeah, I think I've always said I love dogs. I hate puppies. I love kids. I hate babies. I mean, they're nothing but liabilities, but it's something that, you know, unfortunately, there's not a good way to jump it. You found the only good way to jump it is when you don't know it's yours for 6 months. I mean, you actually figured it out.
I had the best excuse in the world.
Yeah. I mean, some old Italian woman thinks it's disgraceful, but you figured it out. Let me ask you something staying on that vein. By the way, I'm taking a look at your newborn daughter. It's infuriating how she has better hair than me already. It's
crazy. She came out full hair, full head of hair.
God damn. I mean, I wish you nothing but happiness, but Jesus Christ, give me a break. Now, since you've kind of been in and out, you said you were a little bit of a womanizer, a villain,
right,
or however anybody had taken you. If people knew you, they had an opinion on you, and you made that decision because you started doing this shit when you were in your 20s. What are you going to do as far as allowing the girls when they can't make an intelligent decision? Because I do the same thing with my kids. Like, I don't have as big of a social presence as a lot of people in Barstool, but I pick and choose when I – like, but Podfathers is a safe space for me. It's a different crew. It's not like a caller daddy thing where all of a sudden we're going to start outlining how to blow a guy. So I always feel safer here talking about my kids. How are you going to insulate them or not, like have them out there for the world to see?
It's hard to, I guess you could say, insulate them when my life is so exposed, right? I have with Teen Mom, they follow our lives and our day-to-day lives and the communication me and Cheyenne have in our relationship. And you know, and then you got, I don't really know how I'm going to insulate them. I just think, you know, I'm going to do my best to protect them. And, you know, if I find something's appropriate, then it is. If I find something's inappropriate, I'll address it at the time or make sure that they stay away from it. I also don't want to hide them from the world. Right. I think, a lot of the issues that you go through, you just got to deal with. And, you know, living the life that I currently live, it's very hard to not, you know, kind of expose them to everybody and everything. But I'm going to do the best I can to protect them. I think that's, as a father, as a dad, you want to protect your kids, you know.
You're in a sweet spot now because they're 3 years old and they're a couple of weeks old. So you're in a sweet spot. It doesn't matter. But, you know, it's when the three-year-old girl is all of a sudden, and I know we're looking down the road, but she's 11 years old and it slips that she wet the bed or something and you put it out there and her friends here. Like, you know, like there's all those little hiccups.
I would never want to embarrass my kid. Right. I would never want to put something out there that she didn't, like, you know, if me and Cheyenne have to shoot something for Teen Mom, I'm going to make sure to talk to Cheyenne beforehand, right? It's a respect thing with me, and I feel like the same is going to go within my household. You know, if we really have a family problem, we will address it as a family before we address it to the world. So, you know, that's kind of where it comes into play with the whole shooting the TV show.
So then it seems like the YouTube is an all access type thing then, to your point.
Yeah.
Like if you sign up for this thing and you start, you know, tuning in, it looks like you're going to get full access to, especially the baby who's got the nice head of hair. Again, it infuriates me, but whatever.
I like how you ran that back to the YouTube. You are the man, Lars.
Nice I know that. I know there's a reason. You're not here because you love me. You know what I'm saying?
I think you said it best, man. The YouTube is really just a way for them to get a real sneak peek. You know, TV is not always what it's made out to be. I have a love for reality TV. I've been doing it for 7 years. You know, I love it, but at the end of the day, I kind of wanted to create something where I get to control the overall point of view and perspective. So that's where the YouTube comes into play. Make sure you guys go watch the Wharton channel or the Wharton family. And,
And so coming back to that too, you say your reality show and you know, this part you can control, obviously you can't control what MTV has put out over the years and stuff like that. Have you mentally prepared yourself for the first time? Because I remember when I Googled my name the first time, then I Googled my mom's name, my dad's name, and just going to see. She's just going to see your greatest hits from the early days. You know what I mean? Are you ready for that?
I mean, you know, I'm ready for that. You know, I mean, my dad was far from perfect. You know, he was in prison for a long time, and I don't hold that against him. You know what I mean? I want my kids to do the same, you know. And nowadays, kids have access to it. If you – they can access anything, right? They can Google anything. They can type in their dad's name and find out what it is and or what's been going on. And so I think my biggest thing is just to let them know, listen, your dad was a fuck-up sometimes. You know, like I wasn't perfect, and I'm okay accepting that. And I think as long as they see that, hey, you know, dad was a crazy youngin', you know, I think they can see that I'm human. And
And let me say this: you're not a fuck up. You fucked a few times on camera. Like, you know, I don't know if it was on camera, but it was implied on camera. Fuck up. We reserve that for like our guy Chaps, who's not on the show right now. He's a fuck up.
Fair enough.
So let's not throw the fu word around too lightly. You're a good guy, and let's do our part. I'm gonna go on the at No Quitters Pod. I'm gonna pin it. And it's going to be your arm wrestling against Connor. And if we get enough retweets and likes and comments on it, that will be the first thing people find when they Google Corey Wharton. It'll be you beating Cons. And she'll say, my dad, the hero, he arm wrestled this West Point graduate and beat him after he said he had popcorn muggles. And I think that's the kind of thing your daughter should want to see, right?
That is the perfect thing for my daughter to see. I want her to look at that arm wrestling match and say, my dad was so strong. Look at how proud he's making me right now, dad. You are the best father in the world.
A little disrespectful to the troops, but you know.
What can you say? Definitely throw the YouTube video up. I would love to watch that video again if we could get that going.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it up on YouTube.
We should do one where we get together after it's all done, and then you and I arm wrestle, and you take a dive. So I just get you so easy because you've seen bigger arms on a turntable than me. And like just for me to show Cons how fucking easy it truly was. Really a little pride swallow for you, but it'd be some good content. Where are you guys at?
Are you guys in New York or?
Yeah, so Clem is north of New York, and I'm in northern New Jersey. So we're looking forward to getting back into the office. Yeah, I do the daily radio, so I'm looking forward to getting back in there just because the taping at home, you can only – like the quality is just isn't there. Nobody's hitting it. Like Jimmy Fallon sometimes sounds like shit. So it's
just the vibe, the atmosphere. Yeah. You know, when you step into that office, you're like, okay, I got some good stuff to talk about. I got some juice or some tea.
Yep.
But when you're at home, it's just not the same, man. It's just not the same.
Right. And I'll tell you what, I haven't passed up a carb in probably two months. Yeah.
Me neither. I mean, when Taylor was pregnant, I was like, babe, we're both pregnant right now. Okay. Yeah. It's not just you. Yeah. So,
but yeah. That doesn't mean she could slack off on the baby weight. Tell her I said that.
No.
Tell her Con said it. Tell her Cons. That wasn't me.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what,
keep
man.
Your name out of it,
man. Thank you. I appreciate it. You're an absolute pleasure. I think it's a nice quick hit. Correct, Clem? So we had Corey Wharton. So we're going to check out the Wharton family YouTube page. And is there anything else that you need to plug while you're on here, Corey?
No, man, I just appreciate you guys. I love Barstool. You guys are always fun. You guys always keep it real. And it's appreciated. Make sure you guys check out the YouTube, the Wharton family. And, man, it's a pleasure.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks for stopping by, Corey. And best of luck with the little one out there. Maybe we'll get you on No Quitters in the future when we know where you finished and all that kind of stuff. We can talk more challenge-related
stuff on the No Quitters podcast. But I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you.
You betcha, man.
Be well.
Pleasure.
Okay. All right, fellas.